You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Batchelor with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow looking at a senior fellow at Washington's Ethics and Public Policy Center. This is the very famous and extremely compelling Lance Morrow, who started with Time magazine in the 1960s. I remember reading him without knowing I was reading him because initially, Time magazine did not sign his pieces. Now he writes for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, and he has recommendations about journalism as well in the 20th century and the 21st. What is his measure today, Peter, of the 21st century?
He is deeply concerned about what journalism has become in the 21st century. And there are two causes that he identifies for its transformation. One, as I mentioned, is the teachings in our schools and our colleges that reality at the end of the day is subjective. So you might as well go with your subjective views. But he also identifies the influence of the internet and social media, which amplify voices, which put a premium on making sensational statements. Our journalists count their hits now, which incentivizes preferring the outrageous to the accurate. And this plays upon the vanity that all journalists have always had to have their views or their writings out there. So he sees a tip in the proper balance that ought to inform good journalism. Good journalism is informed by a disciplined reverence for the facts and for compelling storytelling. But storytelling, really making things up, is swamping a disciplined reverence for the facts. What Morrow wants, what he has stood for through his career of now more than four decades as a journalist, is putting compelling storytelling in the service of reporting the facts.
And how have we drifted from that? You've had time to contemplate this, Peter. You're writing this excellent essay. Is there a moment we can point to in saying we left behind the story and we went for preaching or excoriating or coming to a conclusion before the reader?
I can't myself point to a single moment, but I think we can trace a very steady decline in the practice of journalism. In fact, Morrow himself, in his beautiful book, The Noise of Typewriters, gives us some of this history. You know, he joined the world of journalism in the mid 1960s. He reports that the world into which he entered certainly assumed as a baseline, an objective reality. He also nicely quotes his old friend Carl Bernstein of Woodward and Bernstein fame, Watergate, Woodward and Bernstein fame, as defining journalism's task as providing the best available account of the truth. That both acknowledges the difficulty of getting the truth, especially on a deadline, and also the idea that the truth nevertheless is your governing standard. But throughout our culture, and we return, John, as you know, to a favorite theme of mine, higher education, the education system in general, we've seen a steadily increasing attack on the very idea of of an objective truth in our universities for many decades. So now, and for a long time, we've had journalists who have been marinated in these radically subjective convictions about the nature of truth coming to our newspapers and magazines, and not necessarily preaching that all truth is radically subjective, but conducting themselves as journalists, as if that were so, as if they were not hemmed in by the requirements of doing their best to get the story right. Instead, they are hemmed in by their need to advance a specific narrative, a specific partisan agenda.
Momentarily, let's reflect what we both learned during the Russiagate episodes of 2017 to 2021. Really, it continues, but those four years were critical. What I learned, reporting on the best I could of what was going on in the major publications and the assertions on television and radio, what I learned is that journalism was vulnerable to being persuaded, dragooned, drafted into telling one version, one fantastic version of the Trump presidency. And there was no correction. I could not find a body that was going to come in and say, stop this, or you're exaggerating, or you don't have any evidence for this. Is that a moment where we lost track of the story, Peter? We left the story behind and went entirely for the ends?
Yes. So again, I see steady deterioration, but I very much agree with your section, with your suggestion that campaign 2016 was a watershed moment. Maybe not the only one, but a watershed moment. Indeed, in the summer of 2016, Jim Rutenberg of the New York Times published an essay questioning in the case of Trump, it was even moral for journalists to adhere to the old standards. The old standards meaning get the facts, report the story, separate news gathering from opining. And by the way, we could see already in 2016, 2017, that journalism, at least elite journalism, had given its answer. The way they reported on the Hillary Clinton email scandal, in which as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, for all 4 years, used her own private email server, and on that own private email server transmitted information that was classified at the highest level, the same magnitude, the same quantity of documents that Trump is accused of hoarding at Mar-a-Lago. And the mainstream press treated this as just ordinary stuff, did not question FBI Director Jim Comey's, in my judgment, outrageous statement that no responsible prosecutor would prosecute Hillary. And the press also participated in convicting Donald Trump in the court of public opinion of Russia collusion based on what? A bunch of tall tales collected into a dossier and marketed by whom? By the Clinton campaign to the FBI and to the public. And who participated in this scam? The mainstream media for many years.
What we have then is the legacy, the inheritance from those moments, and I don't see them lifting unless you see some bright blue sky among the storm clouds gathering for 2024. Do you see it, Peter?
Well, I urge everybody to read Lance Morrow's book, The Noise of Typewriters, and follow Carl Cannon's The 1735 Project, because at least in those two fellows, we see still alive the old and noble understanding of journalism to get the story and get the story right, correct mistakes when you make them, and we'll put it just modestly here, to the extent that we can treat those gentlemen as models. We have some hope of correcting course, and correcting course is really indispensable to the future of liberal democracy, because liberal democracy depends on a free, fair-minded press that has, as Morrow says, a disciplined reverence for the facts.
Peter Berkowitz, writing for Real Clear Politics. Again, I'll restate Peter's recommendation for Lance Morrow's book, the noise of typewriters, but the 1735 Project also has an essay that's available right now entitled The Art of Covering Politicians Who Lie by Carl Cannon, who's the Washington Bureau Chief of Real Clear Politics. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.